Welcome to the Center and the Saint. I'm Melissa Bell.
And I'm Allison Kane.
And today we are a little off the chain.
Woo! Aren't we? I think we say that every week.
Oh, girl. How many times have I dropped some of them special four-letter words since I walked in?
We're going to hand ourselves a little slice of humble pie today.
Yeah. It's ironic that I would be experiencing such a thing as this as we're getting ready to record this, because this week alone, I have done probably six or seven things that I said I will never, ever. That's where I draw the line. Mm. And I found myself on the other side of the line, wallowing.
Yeah. Never say never. Like, there's actually a reason that's a saying. If you need to say never, I think I've shared this with you before. A wise, wise friend of mine once said, never say never unless you say, I will never do that today.
Oh.
So you need to say, like, you know, when your kid, I will never get my child a cell phone today.
Gosh, that would have been helpful if I had heard that before.
Yeah.
Clearly, I was not the wise friend giving you that information.
Because clearly, you could probably hold off for a day on some of these things. But for a lifetime, yeah. You'll eat those words.
But I am eating those words, but they have made me more humble.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And exhausted.
Which is one of the things, last week we talked about your tribe.
Yes.
You know, finding those people, what are the qualities, and this is important in leadership and life, and just, I don't know, making it, right?
Yeah, like, if you want to have friends that are real true friends, you should probably be humble.
Yes, and it makes a great leader, which we talked about last week. A leader is not just someone who leads a company or leads a Bible study, but if you're a woman, you're a leader. For your family, for your neighborhood, for your school, for, well, it doesn't even matter.
And if you're a man, probably the same thing, but like, this is not about you right now. Sorry.
We love you.
But we really can't speak to that because we're not men, right?
That's right.
Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah. Well, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true. We don't, I was just zip my mouth on that. Anyway, you know, the Bible in Proverbs, I just was researching humility and what the Bible says about it this week. And it was so interesting. So first of all, of course, humility takes obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sometimes I'm so much more obedient than others. But anyway, humility, it says, prepares us and is a precursor for honor.
Woo, girl, there's some honor coming my way, maybe. Today?
Today? Question mark? I loved that. And I think that as we look to Joshua,
yes,
we definitely see God honoring him through his humility,
mm-hmm,
and, well, serving God and trusting his word, even when the plan doesn't seem to make a ton of sense.
Right. Like those trumpet tooting warriors last week.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, we talked about how a leader doesn't point to themselves, but they point to God, because especially as a Christian woman or a Christian period, if you're pointing to anyone other than God, you're then taking credit for who God is, and then he's not going to honor that.
Yeah, I love that. And really, it, you know, that's really brings to light something else that the Bible says about it in Romans and Titus and some other scriptures, that humility really is what brings about love and gentleness and peace. And it's that comes when we put other people before we put, you know, ourselves, and we quit pointing and saying, oh, it's all about me. It's all about me. And we want to add value to others in our hearts.
Yeah, I'm sure somewhere in the Bible it says, like, lift others up. I'm pretty sure it says spur one another on, not, like, spur yourself on.
Yeah, doggone it. Yes, that's so true. And, you know, when you're humble, it's so much easier to be filled with gratitude about what's going on around you. I mean, I look at Joshua and he just was at peace with what was going on. He was filled with gratitude that he had a plan from God, that you know, God was with him and for him. And that just shines in the whole story.
Have you ever sat back thinking like, oh my gosh, God is asking me to do this? This is going to be entertaining. Like, I'm going to have to see how this plays out. I'm going to go have them march with some trumpets now.
I mean, so many times in my life. He does have a great sense of humor, that God of ours.
So I feel like I've been sitting with God so much because what season we're going through right now in my house is very chaotic and super exhausting, yet it is all sacrificial and with humble hearts we have to do what we're doing right now at my house. And so I feel every day, sometimes on the hour, I have to say, God, please meet me here because I'm at the end of myself. And so that's a really humbling thing. All the things that I'm doing right now, I literally spoke to my husband a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, I draw the line at this. I will not do this. That's when I have to draw the line. And this week, God was like, oh, but you will. How about Wednesday?
Remember that place you said you would never go? Well, here we are. He teaches us so much in that. And I love it in like 1 Peter 5:3 and James 4:6. It just tells us that God opposes the proud and he exalts the humble. And that brings me comfort, although it also is very convicting for me as well, because when we show humility, so many beautiful things come from that. But I struggle with humility sometimes.
I'm sure I do every single day, but this last week and a half has shown me a new compassion, which if y'all have been around for a little bit, you know, I have no compassion. Like my kids will tell you, I have no compassion. I didn't get a compassion button. And so God decided that we're going to exercise that muscle and build it. And so, man, by the grace of God, and I know that that sounds like so bleh when you're going, how are you doing this? Only by the grace of God. But y'all, it's for real. It is only by the grace of God that I can do what I'm doing right now.
And that really goes back to the obedience portion, that humility takes obedience. Like we cannot pull it off without him. I think one of the things that really convicted me was when I was thinking about the things that the fruit that comes from humility, like, let's see, we don't need to be anyone else. We can be ourselves. That's so much easier when we're humble because we can admit our mistakes and our flaws. And I'm pretty good at that because I don't want anybody to think any differently of me. How about you?
Oh, yeah. You were like, oh, no, it's not me. It's God. And I'm like, okay, but you are kind of perfect. But then you're like, no, seriously.
No, seriously. It's almost like I go out of my way to prove that to people. Sometimes, but we take responsibility for our actions and we aren't afraid to ask for forgiveness.
Or help.
Oh, see, yes, that's so I'm fine asking for forgiveness. Help, I struggle with. You know, one of the other things that humility does is it brings us this gift of we can diffuse arguments because it's not about
us
winning.
Being right, correct.
I do like to be right.
I know. And you know what? We won our football game yesterday and I cannot believe I have a voice because yesterday I almost lost my voice screaming on the sidelines.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well, one of the things that convicted me was.
I feel like we have a moment.
That when you are humble, you can handle unfair treatment peacefully. Oof. I just feel like there's a lot of that out there right now in the world. There's all kinds of judgment and ridicule and condemnation and segregation and division. And I am working really, really hard with the Lord on letting him fight my battles for me.
It's so hard, but you know, I was kind of out of touch with the whole world this past week. So I really wasn't sure what was happening, but my husband who was not on this particular little adventure with me called me and he was just so like beside himself. And he was like, it's so much, I can't. And I was thinking, I'm not worried about anything happening outside of these four walls that I'm in right now, because this is my fire.
Right.
And so maybe being present as part of that too, and being able to like stop looking at the rest of the world mm-hmm. and just reflect on the little stuff that you can do within your own sphere, which we talk about a lot.
I love that. And I think, you know, there are so many battles that we can't fight. I mean, some that we have more control over, control, the illusion of control, more access to changing it maybe, but a lot of things we don't. And so one of the verses that I've been clinging to from, I think it's Exodus 14:14 or something. And it says, God will fight for you.
Mm, yep.
You need only be still. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds easy.
You can't be still to save your life. Who are you kidding?
But be still for me looks like what we're talking about, this humility, this not becoming a rage monster or, you know, getting all fired up about right. something that isn't going to do me any good by having that, but being more humble in the situation and recognizing God will honor the humble.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what scripture says, you know, that he opposes the proud and exalts the humble. So I'm, you know, in that regard, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. That's been my theme song for the past few weeks.
I love it.
I wake up in the middle of the night singing it. I play it on Alexa singing it. All kinds of things.
Well, I think that I reach a point where I'm walking with God. I'm like, all right, God, like, I just need enough for this next step. God, just help me get to this next step. But then when I get to the point of exhaustion, which I'm at right now, I'm just ready to torch the whole thing. Like, me and God, I don't even know if we're talking right now. I'm just going to light it on fire, God, because you know what? You'll put it out.
So I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. We did not talk about this
before. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Watch out. You just never know what you're going to get. But I was wondering if you might, we've talked a lot about this situation that you're in.
Yes.
That is putting you in the situation to really humble yourself and stretch the limits and boundaries of what you thought you'd be able to do. And are you comfortable, you know, kind of generically sticking that out there? Because I think there are a lot of people that are probably dealing with that. I mean, I'm on the cusp of it myself.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'll say. So first things first, we have a family member that is aging and declining very quickly. And so we are the caregivers. And so I was not raised in a nurturing household. I mean, my kids are fed and they're healthy, but I wasn't a nurturing person and I was never nurtured. So I never, and I didn't think I'd ever be in a situation at my age. I'm 47. And so this is an aging family member. And so we are caretaking for her. And it's gotten to the point where I have to do lots of stuff for her.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that I had a hard time doing with my own babies. And so it's a little bit harder to do it with her, to the point where I looked at my husband in complete exhaustion last night and said, here's the deal. I don't want to do this to our kids. So when we're 65, we're going to start partying hard or take up some kind of dangerous activity. So we will not live until we're 93 years old.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure that's not God's like whole plan for us, but that's where I'm at right now.
Well, you've had quite a week, and thanks for sharing that, because I think aging parents, aging family members, I mean, I know that, you know, I'm approaching that and going through some of those things. And I know there are a lot of you out there that are going through it. And they call it the sandwich years, but it's really the panini press. I don't even know if I've mentioned that before.
Okay, so we talked about this, and this was many podcasts ago, but it came to my mind that you were talking about this because you were in a situation with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't relate, but now, like,
it's
a
school bus just drove
over me.
Yes. It's no little sandwich at the picnic, which is what I think of when I hear the sandwich years, right? It's hot and pressy. It's melty and
it's
squishy.
Messy. So messy. And you don't know which way to turn. And no matter where you turn, there's pros and cons. And but you have to know in your heart your own intention, which we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your intention in doing this? And be honest with yourself and then make your decision from there. And you cannot focus on what anybody else thinks is going on. I mean, luckily, everyone is really understanding with what's going on in the family with the household. But
and probably grateful you know, that you've stepped up. But it's still not an easy situation. And there are always so many layers. And that is where, you know, you're being a leader in your family. And that's what this is all. And thankfully, you have a tribe of people.
Thankfully, yep.
You know, and that you can call and you can vent and you can get advice from, or you can just, you know, say what you need to say. And then, okay, I got it. Now I have to refocus and move on. And that's when a tribe is so important. And then also, you are experiencing great humility in, you know, stepping up into this role and doing things that you never thought you would do before. And you're also seeing, oh, how it's going to be for us.
Y'all, listen. Go ahead and make your plans. Like, tell your kids what you're going to do. You know, decide where you want to go just in case something like this were to happen. Like, if you were supposed to maybe start losing your marbles a little bit, make a plan. And then try to beat yourself to the grave. You know what I mean? Like, I think that I might just throw that vegan to the side, man. I don't know if I'm going to exercise hard. Maybe I'm just kidding. I'm going to walk out in the ocean, just let the waves take me. But you're right, because I think all the time, like, I have so much ministry that I'm supposed to be doing that literally has to fall by the wayside. We're recording this on a Sunday. We normally record on a Wednesday, but last Wednesday I had an emergency and had to take off. And so I'm just reminded all the time, like, you are doing what God has in store for you today. And it doesn't look like you think it should look. And it might not be with a microphone and there are no accolades and no one sees you doing these things. But the most important thing is that you are caring for a widow, mm-hmm. like God has called throughout the Bible. And, you know, my family has been gracious and just coming around and friends, can I bring dinner over? What can I do for you? To the point where it just brings tears to my eye to think about that. But I'm so tired. I can't even think about dinner tonight. I'm like, I'm not there. I don't know about dinner. Are we eating?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, I think too, these situations just bring up so much. And I know that I used to visit an older lady, Miss Blake, in the nursing home with a friend of mine, and she was blind. She couldn't see. She prayed every night that the Lord would take her home. And she would say, I don't know why the Lord still has me here. I just don't understand it. And she would pray for us. We had to tell her who we were when we came in. You know, she couldn't get up out of bed. She laid in bed for years and years. That woman could pray your socks off.
I
remember saying to her one day, I was like, Miss Blake, that's why you're here. Like, you have no, your prayer was just what I needed. Like, it brought me to tears. It was so beautiful. And it was just hard for her to realize that. And I think sometimes we wonder, like, I'm sure if your relative could comprehend what was going on, she would probably be ready asking the Lord to take her home as well. But the Lord has a reason for her. And you're learning so many things in this situation that you wouldn't be able to learn in another way.
Oh yeah. Like, I would not willingly walk this path. Like, if you're like, hey, Melissa, you can walk this path, or there's this one over here with these like really trained warriors and they have guns and flamethrowers, like, which one do you want to take? I'd be like, I'll take the flamethrowers. That sounds fun.
And that's what I love about our God, and find frustrating and terrifying all at the same time. Right?
Yes.
I mean, he takes us to those spots, but he does it just as we do if you're a parent for our children, and because we want them to grow. We want them to be better people. We want them to strive to learn new things and to always be working towards being a better person. And that is what he's doing in us. And so when we look to scripture and people like Joshua and all the other people in scripture, what we can learn from them is so much. And, you know, knowing that we're not alone and seeing how they practice the obedience and so that they could be humble and that they had their people. And then the next week, we're going to just talk about, you know, another thing is knowing God intimately.
Yeah.
Which is so important in our lives when we're leading, you know, our families, when we're leading in our workplaces and communities, that's so important.
Yeah, and I did want to point out some of the scriptures that we had talked about with Joshua, because, you know, when you're humble, you realize that literally it's not you doing any of this. it is by the grace of God that you are where you are, like it or not. And so there were a few verses that we looked at.
Oh, yeah. Joshua 3.
Joshua 3:3.
And 3:5 and 3:9.
Okay. So Joshua 3:3, he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. And so for me, that's been really important that I'm just looking at God, because if I looked at anybody else, you know, even some of my close people have been like, hey, I just, like, I see a roadblock ahead and I'm like, I'm just waiting for God to let me know when it's time to move. Because trust me, I feel everything you feel times 100, but not until God says. You don't ever want to move before God, right?
Oh, so true. Tried that. Didn't work out.
Yeah. And then Joshua 3:5, he says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And so to me, that's just proof that the things that I'm doing, I mean, as of Wednesday, driving to my destination, I was going, well, if this is happening, I cannot do this. And God reminded me, the Holy Spirit will do that for you. You just need to sit down and be quiet.
Just be still.
Right? Yeah.
The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still.
Yeah. And so that was, I mean, I can just tell you, he met me right there, because exactly what I said, I cannot do this. If XYZ happens, there I was. Within a couple hours doing just that.
And he's like, you're right, you can't.
Right, but I will.
But I can. I will. I am here.
And then Joshua 3:9 says, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you a bunch of ites, like Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites. It goes on forever.
All those bad guys.
All the bad guys. And then it says, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Mm. Like, we don't want to get in front of God. I don't want to get in front of God in this situation, because if it was my own free will or whatever, I mean.
Yeah, there's a reason that people send in the robot when there's a bomb threat, right? You don't just like run your people in there if you've got the bomb robot dude. You have him go in ahead of you to check out the situation. He's like our bomb sniffing dog.
That's the first time God's ever been referred. You guys mark it. That's the first time God's ever been referred to as our bomb sniffing dog, but I kind of like it.
I kind of do too. Anyway, you just never know what he'll put on your heart. But he's like, you know, this hero, warrior. That's what I'm feeling like. That's what I'm living in and resting in these days, that he is fighting for me and looking out for me and going ahead. And he's doing that for all of us.
And you have to know the truths of God to get a wink of sleep at night. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. Facts. The world is blowing up around us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. Fires everywhere. And I don't know where I would be if I didn't have God's word to refer to. Like, my sanctuary is running to the book and just like sitting and saying, oh my gosh, God, just give me a little nugget so I can make it.
I've been sitting in the Psalms for the past several weeks, and it has been a beautiful thing. Well, we appreciate you joining us this week on Humility, our little slice of humble pie.
Oh, yeah.
And next week we're going to be talking about just how important it is to know God intimately, how you do that, what it looks like, and you know, all the things.
All the things. We'll see you all next week on The Sinner and the Saint.